puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And that familiar theme heralds the arrival of Gordon Goldsboro here with another episode of Abandoned Manitoba. Hello, Gordon.
Good morning, Terry.
And where are we going today?
We're going to Hecla Island, or as it used to be known, Big Island, or Mickley.
Mickley, Big Island. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so why are we going there?
Well, I hinted last week that we would be going to the site of an epidemic that had occurred there, and it was, in fact, a smallpox epidemic.
Okay. And so what's there that tells us that this happened?
Well, up until fairly recently, not much, in fact. The cemetery that we're going to, which is called Kirkcudbright, was actually unmarked. The graves that had been buried, people that had been buried there, they used wooden markers to mark the graves, and those didn't last very long. And so by, I guess, sometime in the 20th century, virtually all signs of it were gone. And so it wasn't until about 13 years ago that some of the descendants of those people who were buried there, decided to put up a monument. So there today is a monument at the site of the Kirkcudbright Cemetery on Hecla Island.
Now, for those who aren't familiar with Hecla Island, and just remind us where it is.
Well, you travel up north past Gimli through Riverton, and of course, it's a little north of Riverton. There is basically one highway. You follow the highway, and of course, once you travel across the causeway onto the island, there's just basically one route that takes you to the north end, where, of course, there's a small community and a resort.
Tell us more about this smallpox epidemic.
Well, this was originated in 1875. There were some Icelandic settlers, of course, many people in Manitoba have Icelandic heritage. And when they arrived here, they kind of spread up the west side of Lake Winnipeg. Of course, Gimli was part of that. New Iceland is, of course, the name of the community. And so inevitably, they spread out onto this island, or say Big Island or Mickley. Interestingly enough, now, of course, you probably remember that when farmers settled onto the prairies, they were given blocks of 160 acres, a quarter section.
Mm.
Well, it wasn't really possible to do that on the island because, of course, the island was long and narrow. So there was a group of 31 Icelandic settlers that petitioned the government to reconfigure the way they put this land together. Rather than having them each have a square block, they asked the land to be put into sort of narrow strips, 20 chains or about 1,300 feet wide that would start at the shore of Lake Winnipeg and then extend inland. So what you ended up with was a series of narrow strips, almost sort of like the land divisions here in the Red River Settlement.
Mm-hmm. To give everyone waterfront.
Precisely. And then, of course, also some haying land for your livestock, some wooded land so you get some firewood and wood for other purposes. And this is the way they colonized the Hecla Island, these series of these narrow strips running from the south end of the island all the way to the north. And one of these strips, one sort of towards the south, not at the extreme south end, but sort of towards the south end, was colonized. But it was also fairly centrally located for the rest of the other settlers. And so they decided to establish a church there. And so they named it Kirkcudbright. Now, each of these farmsteads had a name, and many of these names actually conveyed something about the surroundings, that there was a valley nearby or a forest or
right.
water.
Right, and Icelandic for church is kirkja.
Kirkja, yeah. And so Kirkcudbright means essentially in Icelandic church abode, or in other words, the site of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why it was called Kirkcudbright. Now, inevitably, the church didn't happen. There was never, as far as I know, ever a church on the site. But they did start using the area where the church was to be as a graveyard. So unfortunately, they had arrived in 1875, and it was actually in the fall of 1875 that a smallpox epidemic swept up the Icelandic community, and many, many people got ill, and of course, inevitably, some of them died. So they began to make burials in this, well, what was going to be the church cemetery. And over the course of the next few months, there was over a dozen people who died from the epidemic and were buried in the cemetery. And then, of course, over the next few years, they continued to bury people in the cemetery, even though say, there was no church there. So that by the time the settlers began to disappear, this was in the early 1880s, between 1879 and 1881, many of these Icelanders decided that it really wasn't a good place to farm. The land was poor. They began to migrate south. Many of them ended up in southern Manitoba. Some of them went as far as North Dakota. And they basically left this area of the southern end of the Hecla Island unpopulated or less populated. And so they say the church never got established. They later established a church near the north end of the island, several miles away. And so, of course, there was really no then incentive to build a church at Kirkcudbright. So the site was basically abandoned, and very few people knew that there had ever been a graveyard there. But say it wasn't until in 2003 that some descendants of those original settlers decided that they wanted to mark the location of this cemetery.
What does it look like there?
Well, the area is fairly heavily forested. There's some sort of low-lying, sort of swampy areas as well. But the area where the cemetery is located is quite open, probably because they had cleared it preparing for farming. There actually is a two-story log building on the site that was owned by the, I'm told, the Johnson family. It's kind of tumbled down. There's just a tall grass. It's in some places up almost as deep as your waist. And on the south end of this clearing, there is this little sort of stone monument that has plaques on either side that list the names of the people that are buried there, at least as far as they know. Say there was about 40 people died there, but not all of them are documented on the sign, unfortunately. And on the other side is just a description of the name of the cemetery.
How accessible is the sign?
Well, not very. In fact, I found it quite by accident. I ran into a person who had told me about it, gave me sort of vague directions that it was sort of south. And so I started driving. I got to a point where I couldn't drive any further because there was a barricade, so I left my car there. I would say I probably walked about a mile and a half along the shoreline. There's sort of a trail, sort of a walking trail along the Lake Winnipeg shore. And eventually, there are signs periodically, and eventually I found one that said the cemetery. And you walk inland from the shoreline and into this clearing, and there's the monument. But boy, it's not for the faint of heart.
Is there anything being done in terms of restoration?
I don't think so. I think the intention, because of course this is in a provincial park, I think the intention is to leave it the way it is. The trail is mowed. In fact, it's an easy walk. It's not a difficult thing.
Okay.
But it is a lengthy walk from where you can leave your car. But it's nice. It's scenic, very scenic along the lake shore there and into this open clearing. And, of course, to be reminded of this community that was once thriving and now is basically abandoned is kind of poignant.
So no gravestones. You said grave markers were wooden.
Probably wooden. And that was common at the time. And they've just rotted away through time. So there's no actual evidence other than the fact that this monument is located at the site. Otherwise, you would never have known that there was a cemetery here at all.
How do you spell Kirkcudbright?
It's KirkJubol.
Okay.
And say, I'm advised by my friends that's pronounced Kirkcudbright.
Well, thanks for bringing us the story. And next week?
Well, next week we're going to visit a building that was famous among gardeners all over Canada.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to that. Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Terry.
Gordon Goldsboro, Abandoned Manitoba.
No. Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.